So in the garden, there were words brought out that arranged the blessing and the curse. Mm-hmm. And they went for the curse. Mm-hmm. They let the deceiver lie to them, and they went for the curse. Now, we're the same way.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim show how the choices we make daily and the words we use determine the level of the blessing that can manifest in our lives.
We're having a good time this week. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks is with us, and we are learning some things about our words. We have learned that our words, according to the Hebrew, arrange our lives. And I hadn't heard that until this week. So I think that's the best way to say what we teach about hearing and doing the Word of God I believe I ever heard.
Well, you know,
our words
right.
go into our lives, into our children, into our finances, into our homes, into our families, into our bodies, and arrange our lives.
Actually, we talked...
For good or bad.
Yeah, we talked about this off camera, so they don't know that we said that.
And you should hear the things we talk about when you're not here. It's great.
It's right.
But, I mean, I love that. Tell them, Billy. Start off with that.
I'll tell them. I was saying, well, Gloria, you think we should go back into the root of that word and this and that? And she said, oh, my goodness. And it struck a chord with her. And she said, yes, we do have to share with the people. So now what we're talking about, and I hope you've been here every day, and I hope you can be here all through the rest of this week and the next week. Oh, you can go online.
And yes, sure. You can.
And now we have been talking about the title this whole week is, what have you done with your gift of speech? God gave you a gift of intelligent speech. What have you done with it? What are you doing with it? And we said that that gift started with the first man, and that when God gave that gift, speech, to Adam, it made him, he was unique. God breathed into him. That very word can also, breath, can be translated spirit. God breathed into him, and he became onkelos, and we're not going to have time to go into all that again, but the Aramaic translation says he became a speaking spirit, and he has the ability and the responsibility before God to use this speech, and he's accountable for it. Even Jesus said, you know, in the New Testament, you're going to be judged by your words. You'll be justified or condemned. That's really the positive and the negative way of your speaking. Now, this speech is released through words. And so we said yesterday, and we did talk about this with you, that the Hebrew word for word is devar. We would say D-V-R. Now, we also said that that word can be translated matter or thing. So devar, word, can become a thing. What thing soever you desire, when you pray, you believe that you receive. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, he shall have those things that he speaks. So I have been thinking a long, long time about the connection between the Hebrew word, what a marvelous language that God created the earth in. And there are families of Hebrew words, and they're all interconnected. And so it's like a wagon wheel. And there's a root word in the middle, and then spokes go out from that with the words that come from it. And really, almost every family teaches a truth from God's word. And so this Hebrew word that is word, or can be matter or thing, comes from a Hebrew word, root word, expelled exactly the same way, pronounced just a little bit differently, but devar is not even so far from it. And so if you just look in the Strong's Concordance, which most English-speaking Bible scholars use Strong's Concordance, You can look in Strong's Concordance, and every single word in the Bible has a number by it. And then you just go back. He's got two dictionaries in the back. One is Hebrew for the Old Testament, and one is Greek for the New. You just get the number, and you look up the word. It's easy. You don't have to be a Greek scholar or a Hebrew scholar. You just look it up. So if you're going to look up in the Old Testament Hebrew the word word, you're going to get number 1697. You're going to go to the back and you're going to look up number 1697. And then Strong's is going to say this. He's going to say that that is a word, a matter, or a thing. And he's going to tell you that it comes from a root word, 1696. So you just look up one word. You go 1696 higher or above in the page. And there you're going to find the root word, which is pronounced exactly, almost exactly the same way, just a little different. And he's going to say a primary root, which means to arrange, used figuratively of words to speak. So it tells you that word, the word translated word, devar, matter or thing, comes from a root word, which means to arrange. So when you speak your words, you arrange things. You arrange things in your life. You arrange them negatively.
Yep, that's right.
Or you arrange them positively.
Oh, that I love that, Bill. You know, you've turned me on with this arrangement.
And that's what are you thinking about it?
Well, look at the garden.
Yeah.
There were two different sets of words brought to Adam and Eve. God said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then Satan, the evil one, the deceiver, comes along and says, go ahead and eat. There's nothing
Hath
to it.
God said.
Did he really mean that? Had he really said that? So when God had blessed them, the blessing arrangement was in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they disobeyed God, they rearranged the words that he said. They had two sets of words, and they chose to act on Satan's words, who was the deceiver.
Mm-hmm.
And so they died spiritually, and the curse came on them.
Mm-hmm.
So in the garden, there were words brought out that arranged the blessing and the curse.
Mm-hmm.
And they went for the curse.
Mm-hmm.
They let the deceiver lie to them, and they went for the curse. Now, we're the same way. In our lives today.
We have a choice.
And we have walked that out in our lives. You know, we were under the curse, but we began to let the Word of God rearrange our thinking, our words, and then thereby rearrange our lives.
Mm-hmm.
From poverty to blessing, from sickness to health, from turmoil to peace. It was the rearranging.
Now,
I
love
that.
Now, God is giving the blessing.
He has.
But the earth here is still under a curse.
Yeah.
So with your heart and with your mouth, you're going to arrange your life.
That's right.
To be living in the blessing.
Yes.
Or to be affected by the cursing.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
And anybody, like Brother Hagin, you say, Ned and the first primer should be able to figure this out. We want the blessing. So
right.
What are we going to have to do? We're going to have to go with God's word.
That's right.
Instead of the devil's word or the world's word or what the world says is right, we got to go right
and
here.
And that's how faith works.
That's right.
Living by faith, faith works by releasing words in your mouth. I remember the first time we heard this, and we heard Brother Hagin teaching on you can have what you say. He taught us from Mark 11:23, and let's go there to establish the biblical principle of this.
That's right.
And I remember sitting there, you know, just, I've been born again. I was 29 years old. I've been born again since I was 8 years old. But I never heard anything like this in my life.
And no, I hadn't been born again very long when we began.
No. So you got started, you know, sooner in your life. But I'd been saying the wrong things. I'd been saying, I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid this will happen. I'm afraid of that. And all kinds of things, but I won't go there. I'll just tell you, we heard this message straight from the Word.
That's right.
And it's from Mark 11:23. And in the morning, I will start with verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Well, now let's go back. We have to go back to where he told that fig tree. Verse 12. Every day, Jesus has been staying out at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house at night. And he's been going into the temple in the daytime. So in going into the temple one morning, he's hungry. And Mark 11:12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever.
He talked to the fig tree.
He spoke what? Words
to the fig tree.
He said to that fig tree, you will not produce any more fruit, any more figs. He spoke to the fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So that tells us he said it aloud.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they went on to Jerusalem, and he taught in the temple all that day. When evening came, he went out of the city of Jerusalem. He came back to Bethany. They passed by the fig tree. Nobody said a word. But the next morning, 24 hours later, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. They didn't see anything the night before because it started in the root system. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus, answering unto him, said, have faith in God. Now, in my Bible, there's a center reference column, and it says, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. What he's going to do is give them a lesson. He's going to have an object lesson here. He always used the sheep. He used the flowers. He used the things that were around. He's using this fig tree, and he's telling them how faith works.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke to that fig tree. When Peter mentioned something about it 24 hours later, he said, you can have this same kind of faith. I'm going to be going on up to the Father. I'm going to leave you here.
You have faith in God.
And you're going to have to exercise this God kind of faith in the earth. For verily I say unto you, here's how it works. Whosoever shall say, draw a little circle around that in your Bible, unto this mountain, speak to a mountain, speak to a fig tree, speak to your mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Faith is in two places. It's in your heart, and it's in your mouth. But shall believe that those things, which he saith, draw a little circle around that, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. In that verse, a form of the word say is in there three times. A form of the word believe is in there once. Christians, believers, don't have nearly as hard a time with accepting the fact that we can believe things in our heart. But I don't know, there's something about it that they'll just argue against if you tell them you have to believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. However, that's how they got born again.
Sure.
Romans 10:9-10, you have to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and then you have to say with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto possession of that thing. So Jesus, because men are that way, he knew it. And in this verse where he's giving them a Bible faith lesson, he's telling them, you're going to have to think, you're going to have to talk about the saying three times as much as you do the believing. So if you believe it in your heart, you say it with your mouth. That's how the God kind of faith works. The faith in your heart, which comes by hearing, mm-hmm. we know from Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
And the more you say it, the more you hear it. And
the more you hear it,
the more you believe it.
The more you believe
it
yourself. You have to believe in your own words.
That's right.
You can school yourself into faith. You can start off just kind of, you know,
But then pretty soon.
Oh, I did that. I had a list of prosperity. When we first learned about saying, I had a, we need money badly. I had a list of prosperity
scriptures.
And I said them every night.
Mm-hmm. You said them.
I said them every night.
Did your faith grow in those?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I did it. I said it and I said it and I said it and said it until all those bills were gone.
You rearranged the bills.
We rearranged our debt to go away.
Yes.
But I did. I went over them every night. Every night I went over those scriptures. I've still got them. I had them folded up on a little piece of paper, you know. And that's the way it works. Anybody can do it, but a lot of people won't do it. For some reason, they're lazy or they don't really believe it. But, I mean, Billy and I both can tell you how we got to where we are today, spiritually and physically and every other way, is believing with our heart, which comes from the Word. Mm-hmm. You can't believe with your heart just because you say, okay, I believe it. No, it comes from the Word.
Yeah, the Word.
And then you say it with your mouth, what you want to come to pass, and you quit saying what you don't want to come to pass. Now, when you're in turmoil, when you're sick, the first thing you want to do is tell somebody, I'm sick.
But you don't get to do it.
Greet your husband or your wife with that every day. I'm sick. I hurt. But that's not what you do to get well. You say, I'm healed. Or you want to say,
I'm healed.
If you're under financial pressure, you want to talk the problem. You want to say, I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to lose our house. We can't pay our bills. Our mortgage, you jumped up, and now we can't pay it. And you want to tell everybody you know that you're having trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's something.
And that will arrange trouble more and more.
It will arrange trouble. But you can rearrange it. I love this, Billy.
I just love it,
You've
too.
Turned me on today.
No, glory
yesterday.
To God.
Hallelujah.
Then the next verse says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray.
What things?
There's what the things? Soever you desire, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, how do we pray? We use words. Even when we pray, we're saying, we're saying to God, we're praying to God, and what things soever desire, you shall have them, bless the Lord. Right. You shall have whatsoever you say.
But you know, if you don't realize this, you pray the problem. Till you realize this, you just say, Lord, you know, we're in this trouble. We don't have any money. We can't pay our bills. There's no faith in that. So we just keep rearranging the problem over and over, even in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Most prayer is negative. If you haven't learned this lesson, usually,
you know,
it's negative.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is negative, which won't work, has no faith in it.
I recently went to Europe, and one of our board members went with us, Betty King. You know her?
Sure.
Betty King, she has restaurants, and she's quite a wonderful woman. And she was raised up in a denominational church that even didn't teach the new birth so much.
Mm-hmm.
And she got very, very, very sick. She had a terrible, terrible disease, and it affected her lungs. She's black, and this, I don't know what this disease is. She has a name for it, but it affects a lot of young black people. And her little girl was 5 years old. Betty couldn't even get up off the couch. Her little girl, 5-year-old girl, had to take care of her.
Oh, my goodness.
After the husband went to work in the daytime, the little 5-year-old girl had to take care of the mother. And she believes in God, all right, but, you know, she doesn't know these things.
Mm-hmm.
So she's watching Christian TV, and she sees that old PTL program. And she sees on there that they believe in healing. And they got a number down there that you can call. So she telephoned that number, and the lady told her, begin to say, by his stripes, I am healed. Betty said, I couldn't even told you where that was in the Bible. She didn't know where it was, but she started saying it on that couch. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. She said it over and over. She said, I've said it probably 1,000 times a day. I didn't even know where it was. Pretty soon, some strength started to come in her body. And she was led to put her feet over the side of that bed. And she got out from that bed.
And she was led across the room. By his stripes,
glory
I
to
am
God.
Healed. By his stripes, I am healed. And then she was led to go outside one day and walk to the sidewalk. And then she was led and she walked a block. And she looked up and the Lord granted her a vision of himself. And she moved on and on till she was in complete healing.
Praise
of this
God.
Incurable disease. And we're over in Belgium and France, and she's given her testimony. And I said, Betty, look at you. Those little feet that couldn't even get down off the pat, off the couch. Now, she's probably a woman in her 60s, early 60s.
A young woman.
A young woman. Very early, maybe late 50s. And there her feet are going all over the world because of the power
yes,
in the spoken
word. She believed it.
Word.
She said it.
Glory and she had
God.
It in
and
her.
She
rearranged
it.
Her lungs. She rearranged the cells
yes.
of her lungs.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Let's pray, Billy, right now for people. For healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, on the wings of this revelation, of you can have what you say. We pray for the people today, Lord. I'm asking you to reveal yourself to them. I'm going to speak the healing command, and I believe they'll take it with faith, and they'll do exactly what this lady did, Billy was talking about. Father, Billy and I come into agreement, and we
yes.
touch this thing.
Yes.
We rebuke you, sickness, in the
yes.
name of Jesus. And we command every person listening to us to
yes.
be healed
yes.
from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. Now, you rise up. And you begin to walk or move or do what you couldn't
Hallelujah.
Do before in the name of Jesus to the glory of God. Call us and give us your testimony. We're God's moving.
Yes, he is.
Now you begin, you just say it. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed.
By his
I'm
stripes
healed.
I am healed.
I'm healed. And you begin to do what you couldn't do before. Put the word of God in your mouth
rearrange.
And let it establish and rearrange your life. Rearrange your body from sickness to health.
Yes.
Make Jesus the Lord of your life and rearrange your body from sin to righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
This is for you. This is for you. It'll work for you. It'll work for whosoever. Billy and I'll be right back.
Turn right.
Imagine knowing where to go at every turn. How to find your way even if you got lost.
Make a legal U-turn.
And having the confidence that you'll reach your final destination. Most people believe God has a plan for their lives. But with so many roads to choose, how do you know if you're on the right path?
You have arrived at your destination.
In God's Master Plan for Your Life, Gloria Copeland shares 10 keys to fulfill your destiny and help you find and connect to God's perfect will. God has the answers to all of your needs, and He has a personalized plan for every area of your life.
God has a plan for you. And we're told that if we'll seek Him, we'll find it. We'll find Him, and when we find Him, we'll find it. In your personal life, the more time you spend in the Word of God, and the more time you spend talking to God, the more of your master plan you will fulfill.
Gloria's latest book will encourage and inspire you to trust God and believe Him for His plan. God's Master Plan for Your Life is available wherever books are sold. Be sure to get your copy today. Even if you've taken a wrong turn along the way,
recalculating,
God can get you back on course and put you on the right path. Discover God's Master Plan for Your Life and allow the blessing of God to change your life forever.
The first step to walking in the plan of God is to choose Him. To choose Jesus as the Lord of your life. And if you might have gone to church all your life, but if you've never taken yourself out of your own hands, out of the devil's hands, and put yourself into God's hands, you can't go far. You can't go far spiritually because if you aren't born again, but you can be born over again. You might be just totally disgusted with yourself and the way you've lived and you keep doing the things you don't want to do. Well,
You need to get born again. So how do you do that? Well, Billy and I'll lead you in prayer, but actually it's just a choice that you make. You choose Jesus to be the Lord of your life, and you believe it in your heart, and you say it with your mouth. So just say this after me. Jesus,
I choose you.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
I
give you my life. Take my life and do something with it. In Jesus' name. I receive my forgiveness.
My cleansing.
The new birth.
Jesus is
Lord over my life. Hallelujah.
My life.
Now, when I prayed a prayer similar to that, I didn't even know about the new birth. I didn't know I'd been born again for some time, but I chose Jesus. And that's what you have to do is let him in. See, he's not like the devil. The devil will trick you, lie to you, and he'll steal from you. But God and the Lord Jesus, they come in where they're invited. So if you did that today and you made that choice to receive him, we want to send you these books. These are absolutely free about how to study your Bible, what happened to you when you're born again. These are free. Just go to the internet, write us, we'll send you these books free. This is my new book. This is a great book on, it is great because it's the Word of God. It's the master plan for your life. You know, the more you know about the Word of God, the more you walk in. And Ken and I have learned some things, and we've learned to walk in victory. Just started out, though, with just being born again. Then we studied the Word of God, and we stayed in it. This shows you how to walk in victory. So I want to encourage you to get it. Get some for your children. Study it as a family. Study it as groups. It is the Word of God about how to walk in victory. God wants you well. He wants you blessed. You can get it anywhere books are sold in the United States, out of the United States, right our offices that are closest to you. We'll see you again tomorrow. And remember this.
Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. To help you get started learning your Bible, they have put together a special salvation package, which includes 5 books and a study brochure. Request your free package online when you log on to kcm.org. This is the year of the fullness of blessing. Take hold of the promises of God and receive the manifestation of the blessing without measure. The West Coast Believers Convention is at a new location. Come to the Long Beach Convention Center June 30th to July 5th in Long Beach, California. The Southwest Believers Convention is August 4th to the 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Great Lakes Believers Convention will be held August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For more information, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
This gift of intelligent speech, it's a powerful gift. It creates. It can destroy. There are laws which governs its use. God did not just give this great power of intelligent speech without giving specific instructions as to how to use it.